Now we have the Bible reading. It's from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 19. So Proverbs 1, it starts with a purpose and theme. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behaviour, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, they despise wisdom and instruction. Now the next part is a prologue. It's exhortations to embrace wisdom, and it's a warning against the invitation of sinful men. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say this, come along with us. Let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil, and they are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it.
Well, hey, you know, wisdom, advice, counsel, they're all good things in our lives, all things that we need. So this week I went out seeking for what's the kind of modern wisdom that's getting shared, what's the kind of things that people might be talking to each other. So of course I did what any good person would do and go onto Google to find out what's the kind of wisdom that's being shared, what is modern wisdom for modern life. Now here's a little phrase, a saying that you might have heard before, says the grass is greener where you water it. Isn't that so true? Isn't it a little twist on that old saying, that old proverb that, you know, we spend so much time dreaming about whether life's better somewhere else. Instead, this little saying says, well, no, it's best where you water it, where you actually work on it, working with the life that you have instead of dreaming about another life. Here's another one. Believe in yourself. Have faith in your abilities. Without a humble but reasonable confidence in your own powers, you cannot be successful or happy. Isn't that such a true thing that people say today? That ultimately, who do you believe in? Who do you trust in? Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself and your own powers to get your own happiness and success. Okay, number three is another very popular one. Be the best version of you. Be the best version of you. This is a kind of thing that gets spread out on reality TV a lot and some of the self-help type shows. But I have to say, this was my absolute favorite here. Here's the next one. Okay, if you swim with a friend, the chances of being eaten by a shark will drop by 50%. Friends, is that not absolutely true wisdom right there? Well, hey, life's complicated, isn't it? Life's complicated, and we want to get advice, things that will inspire us, things will point us in the right direction and how to live. Because life doesn't just follow a formula, does it? Life's not so straightforward that you could just follow a bunch of simple rules and life will go well for you. Life's much more of an art than a science, in fact, I think. And growing in wisdom is growing in the ability to make the right choices throughout life. I think it's one of life's great journeys. And I think the truth is we need wisdom for every part of our lives. I mean, just in the last month, Bonnie and I sought wisdom on parenting and discipline within our home. Now with a very spirited four-year-old and a one-year-old is discovering her cheeky side. You know, us parents, we need help. We need wisdom and how to do it well. Tomorrow, I'm going out to a seminar that's on doing ministry in a secular age. Right, for even for my job and for learning as a Christian how to live in the secular age, well, we need some advice, we need some wisdom. Well, over the next term, we're going to be digging into this book of Proverbs. Proverbs. Proverbs is one of four books of wisdom literature in the Bible. You know, there's Job, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Songs as well. But what I love about wisdom literature is how down to earth it is. Now, wisdom literature is all about the nitty-gritty of life, of the things of daily life and daily living, and it's going to be some of the most down-to-earth advice that you'll ever receive from the Bible. Now, over the next few weeks, this is what the series is going to look like. We're going to spend a few weeks looking at the big picture of Proverbs and getting an idea of what Proverbs is on about. But then after that, we've got a number of weeks we're going to be covering some of the big topics that Proverbs is on about. And so I hope it's going to be a really fascinating journey through, and it's going to, you know, be really practical and helpful. As I say, it's going to be stuff that you'll be able to put in practice in your life, work, family, and your relationship, all of that. If you are a bit of a note taker for this morning, here's a bit of an outline of stuff that we'll be covering this morning. Now, as you see, this morning is all about the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. Where is it that you will go to find true wisdom? Where does it all start from? And we'll be covering all of that this morning. That's where Proverbs begins, when the author, King Solomon, starts to write out and document where he thinks wisdom starts. Now, Proverbs is this book. It is this collection of wisdom that's brought together in one place by, and a lot of it's written by King Solomon. And he's going to be a great guide. He'll be an awesome guide. In 1 Kings chapter 4, I'll fly up behind me. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. See, who is our guide this morning and over the next few weeks? We've got the guide of a man who was gifted, supernaturally gifted with wisdom, an understanding of life, wiser than all the people of the East, wiser than all the people of, all the wisdom of Egypt. Now, what is it that Proverbs is going to teach us? Now, Errol read out that passage earlier for us. Well, you know, those first seven verses do really outline exactly what is Proverbs here for. So, hey, read it again with me. This is chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise discern and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings of the wise. Now, Proverbs starts off saying, hey, come along and gain and learn all of this stuff. But what is it actually that it's trying to communicate to us? Well, it uses a whole bunch of different words there, and I'm going to fly a few definitions up there. They're all kind of in the same space, and the book of Proverbs is all about conveying these things to us. Now, what are they? Well, the first one is wisdom. Wisdom, I think, actually covers a whole bunch of these, sort of the overarching thing of what Proverbs is on about. It's having experience, knowledge, understanding of life, and the good judgment to put it into practice. Insight, the ability to gain a deep understanding, and in this context, the understanding of life. Prudence, about being shrewd, about making those good judgments. Knowledge, about facts, information, skills. Discretion, about speaking with care. As you enact that wisdom, it often comes out in the way that we speak and relate to each other. See, Proverbs is all about gaining the ability to see and understand life, the way that God created it, God that made it, and helping us to be able to live in a way that is right and just and true and with equity. about learning and hearing and increasing in knowledge, about understanding the words of the wise. I mean, just have a think about it for yourself for a moment. I mean, how many of you would say that you're a little older and wiser than you were, say, 10 years ago? 10 years ago. So think back to yourself 10 years ago. You're a little older and wiser than you were, especially some of the young ones down here, just a little older and wiser now. Now, there's different types of wisdom and experience, isn't there? There's a kind of wisdom that's learnt from time and experience. I remember early on in our marriage, date night would often be a movie that we'd rent out together and want to enjoy together. I remember one week choosing a film called There Will Be Blood. Anyone seen it? Anyone seen There Will Be Blood? Yeah, I think that's about right. So, a couple of people. There Will Be Blood, it is a very highly rated, critically acclaimed, Oscar-winning movie. Sounded great. Thought, hey, look, let's grab, this looks like an awesome film to watch together. What is it about? It's about a ruthless oil prospector. He takes advantage of others. He literally murders his competition to get ahead and eventually finds his own comeuppance, finds his own judgment. Now, to me, hey, that sounds great, but the only problem is, date night's really there for us to just enjoy each other's company together. Just to enjoy the night, really it's more about us, have a bit of a laugh, and I think about half an hour into this very dark and dramatic study into greed and capitalism, and I realize that this is no date night movie. All right, so advice from my 25-year-old version of myself, critically acclaimed Oscar-winning movies about murderous oil tycoons, that is not a date night movie, okay? Tip for young pluggers out there. Wisdom learnt from experience. Wisdom learnt from experience. There's another kind of wisdom. It's a kind of wisdom that's not so much caught from experience, but is taught. Taught wisdom that is passed on to you from another person, and usually someone older and wiser than you. I remember another time I was riding in a car with an older, wiser friend of mine, and a really nice Ferrari just pulled up next to us. I don't think it was this car, but it was something like this. Absolute, amazing sports car. And I remember looking over with just a little bit of envy, and my older, wiser friend kind of seeing the stars lighting up in my eyes just said, one day it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. That was just the wisdom that I needed at that point in time, wasn't it? Because he was totally right, isn't he? That one little phrase, that one little mention of wisdom, it stuck with me as a reminder not to get so in love with material possessions, because truth is, one day it's all going to burn. One day you'll never be able to take it with you. Right? See, there's a kind of wisdom that is taught to you, that is passed on to you by another. And Proverbs, I reckon, it's a book that is there to really supercharge your wisdom. Wisdom that we can learn of someone older and wiser than us. And Solomon here, the wise king, is putting himself up as our teacher to help us understand life and how to do life well. He says it's about teaching those who are young and simple to give wisdom. But actually his first and his most important lesson is there in verse 7. It's there in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Friends, take note of this verse right here, this short little pithy verse here in verse 7. Because when all is said and done, this is the motif of Proverbs. This is the summary of Proverbs. This is where wisdom begins. The fear of the Lord. Now, it's a little bit of a weird, cryptic phrase in some ways. I mean, fearing the Lord is actually, it's not about being afraid of God. Okay? It's not about being afraid of God. The fear of the Lord is about ultimately holding God as the authority on life, right? That we don't speak back to God, we don't speak over God, we don't give wisdom to God. Now, on the other hand, we uphold God as our King, as our Creator, as the one who is all wise and all knowing, the one who can teach us about life, about how to do life well, because, well, He's the Creator of life, the Designer of life. If you want to know how to live truly and wisely in God's world, well, it's got to start with God himself. It's got to start with God himself. So just flick down with me to chapter 2. Flick down with me to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if indeed you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come wisdom and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and fair and just and every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways. See, by fearing the Lord, by holding him, by looking to him as a source of life and wisdom and everything, that helps you to unpack life. That helps you to walk well on the path of life, to live rightly in the God and to live rightly under the one who gives wisdom. And it's through God who gives the wisdom. So here, right here, I reckon is one of the fundamental differences between the way that Christians live and the way that the rest of the world lives. Between Christians and our world. Now, the picture of the world, of our lives in it, is a picture here in Proverbs of two paths, right? That there is a God who's made the world, that there is a right way of living in it, and there is a wrong way of living in it. That in the fabric of the universe is a moral order, that there is right and there is wrong, and there is a path to evil and there's a path to righteousness. And it's only in the fear of the Lord do we begin to walk the path of righteousness. I reckon today in society, in our average Western society, that we don't really live that way. I see we've been affected by a philosophical movement known as postmodernism. It's a movement that rejects, no, there's no overarching order. There's no overarching story for the universe. It's only whatever is true for you, whatever is, there's not two paths from which you can go, one wise and one foolish. No, there's lots of paths you can go and you're free to choose whatever you want, live whatever way that feels fit for you. Whatever works for you, it doesn't matter. Do the best of the life you have. You know, it makes sense of all that modern wisdom, doesn't it? You just live the life of whatever works for you. Be the best that you can be. Find the strength from within you. You know, you've heard it all. It's in the end, life's all relative. No objective truth, no God, no right, no wrong. And see, that's why, and so when our world preaches, hey, just believe in yourself, it's a rejection of it, of a belief in anything greater than yourself, right? So, you know, there's no gender or sexual identity other than the one that you believe in for yourself. There's no one religion, whatever religion, you just follow whatever works for you. Now, I think we could spend a whole lot more time on that. You know, it's probably do a crosstalk on that sometime. But just notice this. See, wisdom and the fear of God, for us, I think it helps the scales to fall off our eyes. It helps us to see, no, life's not lots of paths that are all equally valid and you just choose whatever one feels right for you. No, it says, actually, God has plotted out a path in life. There is a right, the way of the righteous and the way of sin. There is the way of wisdom and there is the way of foolishness. Now we're going to tackle a little bit more of that idea of foolishness more next week, but this is what Proverbs has to say about fools in a quick summary way. We saw in that verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and fools despise wisdom and instruction. Later on, Proverbs talks about fools like this, chapter 12, verse 15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Or as Shakespeare actually once put it, a fool thinks himself to be wise, but a wise man knows himself to be a fool. See, right here, I reckon, is the danger that Proverbs presents to us. We can be, and we are, fools. When we do life and we become wise in our own lives, living it our own way, we become fools. Or thinking that we don't need wisdom. It's the danger of having arrived, as Paul Tripp puts it. It's the idea that when you feel like you've got your handle on life and you don't need any more advice anymore, then you become the fool. See, I reckon that can affect any of us. Really, I mean, it can affect any of us at lots of different stages of life where we shun advice and we do things our own way. But I think particularly it affects young men. Young men. And in Proverbs, I think the young men are really anything up to about age 30 or so. And I think we're particularly prone to this. You know, bravado, to pretend that we know everything, that we listen to no one, that we never ask for help, we never ask for advice. Well, then we become the fool. So have you ever been the fool? Have you ever been guilty of just dismissing advice? Maybe someone's tried to advise you about your job, about your direction in life, about your relationship. And it might be that you just thrown it back in their face because it's not really what you wanted and how you imagined your life. Well, you may be playing the fool. You may be playing the fool. And Proverbs wants to come and say, let's not play the fool. Let's be ready to learn and grow in wisdom for life. So what does it mean for us today if we were to put Proverbs into practice for us today as Christians living in the modern age, 2019 today? Well, actually, Proverbs is not the final word. Proverbs is not the final word on wise living. Solomon was indeed a very wise man, the wisest that there ever was. But after him comes one greater and wiser than Solomon. In Matthew's Gospel, there's a little verse here about Solomon, but ultimately it's actually about Jesus. In chapter 12, verse 42, appear behind me. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. Isn't that incredible? Solomon, the wisest king that had ever lived, when Jesus walked the earth and when he taught and when he spoke with the authority as people were astonished at the things that he spoke about, there was one greater than Solomon. In fact, Paul writes this about Jesus as the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 3. My goal is that they, the church he's writing to, may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Friends, Paul really holds Jesus up as to be the epitome of all wisdom and knowledge. And friends, if you're a Christian here, if you are one with Jesus, then you are one with the ultimate expression of God's wisdom. And Jesus comes speaking with great wisdom that we can know him, that we love him and trust him. When Jesus, he rescues us from our own sin and from our foolishness. When the wise one goes to the cross to die for us, that he would rescue us from our folly. You see, friends, wisdom ultimately only comes from our rescue. We're going to be rescued from our foolishness. And it's only then, also in relationship with the one who embodies all of God's wisdom, that we can grow to be wise and live in a way that will honor him in his world. Now, when we read and when we're going to study Proverbs over the next 9 or 10 weeks, we're going to have the spirit that Jesus gives us in order to empower us to put this into practice, to be able to live wisely. See, friends, we're going to be getting into the nitty-gritty of life and living and doing it well. But here's where you've got to start. This is right here. This is where you've got to start. To know Christ. To know life in his name. To know the God of the universe through him. Now, I want to ask you, is he the center of your world? Is he the center of the things that you, in your mind, the things that you praise? Is he in your prayer? Or has the many weeds of busyness in our lives just begun to really choke us out? The things of just kind of get stuff done, we forget to do the most important thing that there is, to know Christ, to know wisdom, to know Him as the one who embodies all of God's wisdom. Are we there reading God's word, hungry to know it better, to understand the world as God created it, that we might live rightly in it? Friends, Jesus has to be our starting point. He just has to be. You know, if He's not part of your life, friends, if you want to live well, live wisely, then come to Jesus. Allow Him to take your foolishness that He might teach you to become wise. Well, friends, when all is said and done, what can we learn from just this first chapter of Proverbs as this introduction to this book on wisdom? Well, I've got four quick life lessons, I reckon, all coming from Proverbs chapter 1. So here they are. Number one, be humble and ready to listen and learn of God's word and the wise people that He has placed in our lives. All right, number one, we've got to be ready to learn. We've got to be humble, right? See, number two, don't be the fool who is wise in his own eyes. Don't ever stop learning. Don't ever stop learning, because a fool is the one who thinks that he's got all wisdom, that he's got it all sorted out. Number three, we all have our vices and our sinful tendencies, but we don't have to continue down the path of foolishness, because Christ, because of Him, we can choose another path. But the final lesson, I think the most important one, and the most important one through all of this series, is the fact that Christ, friends, Christ is the embodiment of all wisdom. And so cultivating your relationship with Him is the most important thing that you can do in life. You want to live life well? You want to live life wisely? Get to know Him. Get to know Him well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this word of Proverbs, word of wisdom to us. Father, will You be with us as we delve into Proverbs over the coming couple of months? Father, most of all, Lord, will You help us to see Jesus for who He is, the embodiment of all of Your wisdom, the one who takes away our foolishness, the one who allows us to live the wisdom that is given to us in Your word. Father, might we not become fools and pretend like we don't need help or wisdom, but might we indeed, Lord, have hearts that are humble, ready to learn, and particularly ready to learn and praise the one who is Your wisdom. Amen.